So stage four is risky. Teenager life is risky. And we become so risk adverse, we sacrifice our own individuation and our children's individuation. It's better that they be safe and adolescent their whole life than take a tiny, actually tiny risk that they might die in the initiation process. So stage four is the initiation process, and my book Soulcraft is all about stage four. That's what that book is. In fact, I wrote the book I'm about to publish, I wrote first, and my agent, my literary agent, said, good book, not your first book. I said, excuse me, it's my only book. I'm not going to write any more books. This is too much. She said, I'm not your literary agent. I said, what are you talking about? She said, this is not where to start. You need to start where the juice is. You've got your juice in stage four. I want you to take stage four, make it into a full-length book, and that's your first book. I said, not possible. And then 6 months later, I called her up and said, okay, I'll try. So, but she said, you can't talk about any of the stages. Just write the book about stage four. Don't tell anybody what it is. But that's what Soulcraft is stage four. So that allows me to move on to stage five, because now, if you've read the book, you know what stage four is. Any questions about stage four? Okay, there's a nature task and a culture task. The culture task is to leave the home of your adolescent personality, is to separate yourself from your early adolescent way of belonging to the world. David White has a wonderful image for that moment. You've just spent, you know, several years building the house of personality from the ground up, and you made it socially acceptable and authentic, and you're just about done. You're now tacking on the living room wall the last piece of artwork, and you're going to be done. And you put it up on the wall, and you step back and go, oh man, that's great. And then there's a knock at the door. And you go, wonder who that is. And you open the door, and there's three strange angels standing there. And they say, time to leave. And you say, oh, you've got the wrong address. I just finished building it. And they go, we don't have the wrong address. And that's what early adolescence is supposed to be about. You learn how to build a personality, and then you leave it. You never even live there. What we do is we build it, and we live there until we're 112. Or whatever age we die at. So the elders are standing on the confirmation line when they see, for example, the boys who are being really eloquent in their courting of the boys or girls, then they grab them and say, okay, time to learn about the world, the mysteries of the world. Time to explore the mysteries of nature and psyche. And they're brought into the initiation schools. Any questions about stage four?
The cultural test. For the nature test, what's the cultural test?
Oh, thanks. I'm glad someone's tracking here. The culture task of stage four, again, the culture task was to walk out the door. Yeah. The nature task of stage four is to explore the mysteries of nature and psyche. Cross into the mysteries. That's the subtitle of that book, Soulcraft. What do I say here? It's task two, exploring the mysteries of nature and psyche. And you do that through what I call Soulcraft techniques, which I didn't invent. Our culture doesn't have a name for them, so I made up one. And you cultivate a soulful relationship to life. And there's 12 examples of that on the words, the other handout. Questions about stage four? Yeah, that's a good question. Does political activism come under there, stage four? It does in a dysfunctional society like ours. Maybe in some sense in any society. But if you're separating from the adolescent way of being, well, let me just say it. There's a couple ways you could say it. Let me put it this way. It's something I call... It's generally called service work. One of the things we learn in stage four is to make our lives a service to the more than human community. It's not that we can't do that in stage three and two, and but in stage four, it becomes particularly important to get it into my system, my body, that my life is meant to be of service to others. And if you're living in a dysfunctional society, one way to be of service is political activism and environmental activism and so on. Because if I'm in stage four, I don't know yet what my true soul work is. I can't do my soul work really till stage five. And so what can I do to be of service? I have to look outside myself for something that's worthy of doing that would be helpful to others. And hopefully the movement, if that's what it is, that I join, is one that was developed in its form by a real adult or elder. Otherwise, it could just be making things worse. So some political activism makes things worse because it was invented by adolescents. Yep, you're not on the side of evolution if you're an adolescent rebel, radical activist.
It seems like nowadays that age, if you're lucky, started at 25.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Stage four, if you're lucky, if you're really, really lucky, it starts at 15 or 16 or 17. And then, you know, if you went to a real college, which we don't have any in this country, but if you went to, except for Lebanon Valley College, of course, but if you went to a real college, well, it wouldn't even be what we think of as a college. It would be an initiatory curriculum. That's what it would be. 4 years of initiatory curriculum. And for those who got clear about what their real gift is to the world, then they'd be learning a delivery system in college as well. But you can't learn a... You're wasting your time to learn a delivery system for your soul work until you know what your work's really about on a deep structure level. So, but I believe if we miss the boat at 15 or 16 or 17, which almost everybody does, the next big opportunity that a large percentage of people get, not that you couldn't get it in any year after that, but the next big window from my very informal research is age 28 to 30. And it's amazing how many people you talk to who are in that age bracket or past it, and you ask them if they're past it, what happened when you were 28, 29, or 30? And they go, my whole life changed. I walked out on something or so-and-so, and any astrologer will tell you why. It's Saturn return or the progressed full moon or both. Progressed full moon. Progressed moon. You've come back to the same, after 28 years, you've come back to the same place the moon was when you were born. It takes 28 years to make the cycle, 28 phases of the moon. Saturn takes, 28 to 30 years to get around the sun. So you don't have to be an astrologer. I mean, none of my work is based on astrology, so don't throw it out for that reason, but that's what astrologers say. That's why it happens. I don't know why it happens, 28 to 30, but it seems it really does happen. Happened for me, 29. I thought I was going to be a research psychologist my whole life, publishing papers like mad. I was on tenure track. And then I heard the call to adventure, and I was lucky to realize that's what was happening. And I left university. My parents thought I was nuts. I was.
Is that saying that really you shouldn't get settled down and be married until after that, unless you've somehow gotten into enough stage four in high school?
You get another shot at 56?
Get a shot at 56? If you believe Jung, you get a shot at 43 and a half. I'm partly kidding, but midlife is, for Jungians, is what early 40s, right? That's when you can really start your soul work in the early 40s. Astrologers say 28. Nature-based people say 13. What's this 43 stuff? It's 13 is where you start. Yep, so maybe it's moving up from 43 and a half.
Because if you're going to have this big break and you're going to change your life in the work world or in what your outward work is, we've seen that that's likely to give break in relationship too.
Yep. Yeah. So the question is, should we tell our young people not to get, whether they get married or not, not to start families until they're 30? Boy, that's completely theoretical and irrelevant. I mean, who, what? They'll say, yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, sure. Thanks for sharing. Oh, I think, yeah.
Are you going to talk about pregnancy?
Why?
Isn't that a stage of growth?
Yeah. Yeah, it's either stage one or stage zero. Take your pick. But I'm not going to talk about it today because we're running out of time.
I think it is important because if we're worried about the population problem, if we put off to having children after 30, you might only have 3 generations in one century instead of 4. That would make a big difference.
Well, nobody's going to put off having children to 30 because I or you or anyone else says so. It's going to happen anyways. So the I'd say the important thing, or the thing we can actually do something about, is that we can help stage 3 parents do stage 3 better, so they'll become stage 4 parents and then become stage 5. And we can help stage 4 parents do stage 4 better. That's what we can do. We can't legislate what age people have children.
Just take the back seats out of all the cars.
Okay. I'm gonna move on to stage 5 here. It's 5 of 11 already. So stage 5 begins when the mystery is ready for us to begin it. And I believe the mysteries will feel that we're ready to do it when we've learned enough about what our soul gift is in stage 4. Stage 4 is where we explore the mysteries of nature and psyche in order to find out what our particular, my particular gift is to bring the world. And it's never defined in cultural terms. Never. Stage 4 is not finding out whether I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a vision quest guide, a psychologist, a public speaker, etc. It is not about vocation. The soul does not operate on vocational levels. The soul is pre-cultural or acultural. The soul doesn't say, I want you to be an architect or a chiropractor or a school teacher. My opinion, the soul is of nature, it's not of culture. It doesn't even have a favorite language. The soul says to use something really mysterious and deep, and it feels like a burden, a violation, and the greatest blessing possible. In my case, I just use the shorthand because it takes too long to give you the longhand. The soul said to me, I want you to learn how to weave cocoons of transformation. Weave cocoons of transformation. Butterfly and a tree ganged up on me and told me. And I said, what? Weave cocoons of transformation. Oh, is that all? No? How do I do that? That's your job to find out how to do it. How do I learn how to do it? Find people out there who are doing it. Where are they? I'm the soul. I don't know. You go find them. So it's something like that, some mystery conversation like that. That's a very shorthand version of mine. So in stage 4, we learn what the piece of the mystery, the deep structure of our own psyche that we are to bring into the world. It's like, this should not sound too mysterious to people in this conference. This is like dreams. Dreams are very mysterious, especially if we allow them to stay mysterious and do their work on us. If we interpret them or analyze them, we're killing them. But if you use techniques that allow the dream to work on the dreamer, amazing things happen. The best technique, set of techniques I've seen are Robert Bosnack's. He's a Jungian psychologist who was in Boston. Maybe he's moved. He's Dutch.
How do you spell his last name?
B-O-S-N-A-K, Robert Bosnack. He He has a book called A Little Book on Dreams, and his another one that's out of print, of course it's better. It's amazing. You'll appreciate why I like the title. It's Tracks in the Wilderness of Dreaming. Tracks in the Wilderness of Dreaming. If you're a dream worker, or you do a lot of work in your own dreams, get a hold of Tracks in the Wilderness of Dreaming. It's the book Hillman should have written, but he doesn't actually want to tell you how to do anything. He just wants to talk about it in absolutely brilliant ways, but he doesn't tell you how to do it. Bosnak tells you how to do it. How to be changed by your dreams rather than you changing your dreams by interpreting them. Okay, now the reason I'm saying all this is to say something about stage five, which is stage four, you've learned the deep structure mystery of what it is yours to bring into the world. In stage five, your task is to learn at least one delivery system for embodying that mystery in the world. So you might say all of us are in one or another soul clan. We're all in different, there's a whole bunch of thousands of soul clans. And once you find out what your absolutely unique piece of the mystery is, then you go out into your community, which in our world now is as big as the world, and you find somebody or a discipline that is in your soul clan that would allow you to deliver your particular piece of the mystery through some culturally relevant delivery system. You study with a master on a particular delivery system. You're not likely to be able to invent one on your own. Of stage five, okay, the task is learning delivery systems for embodying soul in culture. The nature task is getting to know that deep structure soul better and better and better. What is it that I'm delivering? My soul is my personal nature. There needs to be a conversation in stage five between my soul and the delivery system. Learning the delivery system is the culture portion, dimension, and getting increasingly clearer about what it is I'm delivering is the soul, the nature. Because it's a conversation. Like as I said, I was told by a butterfly in a tree to weave cocoons of transformation. That wasn't the end of my soul exploration, it was the beginning. And the conversation continues with soul. Well, what do you mean by that? And give me some more images and help me out more about really feeling into the deep structure of my gift. That continues in stage five. And then, again, the culture task is I study with a master or some particular discipline or a group of people who can show me a discipline, a strategy, a form, an art, that is a useful or effective delivery system for my kind of mystery. Okay, that's stage five.
For those who live in the boonies without a lot of money and are dependent upon books, the internet, and so forth, what is your take on the relationship, on the effectiveness of working through those media rather than through a one-on-one, person-to-person guru or group discipline?
Yeah, the question is, if you live in the boonies, can you learn a delivery system through modern technology and books? Yeah, I think you can. But I think it's always better to study in person with someone or a group of people or a school of people.
Could you just talk a little bit more about what you mean by differentiating the self in relation to the soul as opposed to the earlier differentiation in relation to society?
Yes. In stage five, let's go back to stage three. In stage three, in developing an authentic personality, I am differentiating how I am in the world in relationship to my peers and social custom and so on. I need to be socially acceptable, in other words. In stage five, stage four, I'm not in particularly relationship to culture at all. It's like leaving culture, stage four. Stage five, I can return to the community, physically or at least psychologically. For sure I do. And in stage five, the question is, no more is the question, how do I shape my personality to be pleasing to others? Well, okay, there's still, since stage three tasks are never done, in stage five I still have some stage three tasks, and I'm still, if everybody just, you know, runs when they see me, I'm not going to be able to do my work very, very well. So there's still some of that, but the primary thing with personality shaping in stage five is to create a personality that's an effective vehicle for my soul gift. And one of the most important ways, one of the ways to understand a big chunk of what it is to do that is what we did yesterday and the day before. That to round out my personality, I need to have good access to the resources, the intrapsychic resources of all four dimensions of the self. Now that actually becomes important work in stage four. That this, the work we did yesterday and Saturday and the things I talked about on the weekend become really important in stage four. They become even more important in stage five. For me to effectively understand what my soul work is and for me to effectively learn the skills and knowledge of a delivery system, I need the resources of all four. I need my wild self, I need my guide to soul, I need my generative adult, I need my innocent sage trickster fool. And that's differentiating my personality in relationship to soul. So here's something that's helped me a lot, just to understand it this way. A immature ego, a pre-adult ego, especially stage two and three, an immature ego is an agent for itself and ought to be. A mature ego is not an agent for itself, it's an agent for soul. And by being an agent for soul, it's an agent for spirit. Being an agent for soul means what's most important to me is to deliver my gift into the world, and my gift is my soul's desire. And by embodying my soul's desire, I'm doing what spirit wants. That makes sense? Some people don't like the word agent. Women often don't like agent, so handmaiden works pretty good too. And a mature ego is a handmaiden for soul. I can't remember the others. We should move on because I really should be done at 11:15, right? Okay. It's 11:06. So stage five is about learning the delivery system. Stage six, mystery kicks us out of stage five when we've mastered a delivery system. And then mystery says, now it's your time to create a delivery system for your kind of soul work that has never before seen, never existed on the planet. And so stage six people are the, I almost want to say the true cultural change agents, or the true sustainers of, or the true evolvers of culture. If you don't have stage six people, many stage six people, the culture starts disintegrating and falling apart, like ours.
Burry is a stage six. Thomas Burry is a stage six.
Thomas Burry, stage eight. Yeah, I spent 2 days with him. When he started writing his books on nature, like Dream of the Earth, he was already in stage seven. As an adult, he wasn't doing any of this stuff. As an adult, Thomas Burry was a cultural historian, not particularly oriented towards nature at all. That's his elderhood work. In his adulthood, he published books on Buddhism and Hinduism. He said his book on Buddhism is the best thing he ever wrote. And, of course, it's probably out of print. Okay, stage six, the nature task. Oh, creating new delivery systems, never before seen delivery systems.
That would be cultural.
Well, it's both. It's actually, it's never before seen delivery systems for soul. And you have to stay in conversation with soul to do that. That's staying in conversation with soul, nature task, creating the new delivery systems, culture.
How does native cultures do that? Do they really keep evolving?
Well, the native people say they do. Well, some do anyways. I'm thinking of Leslie Silko and her novel Ceremony, in which she says, she's a Native American, can't remember which people. She says, for the people's ceremonies to stay healthy, they have to constantly be changing. If you have a ceremony, you know, in our culture, we think, wow, this is a powerful ceremony. We've been doing it for 2,000 years now, to use a random number. And the native people would say, wow, must have been dead a long time ago. You know, it has to keep changing it. Well, how does it keep changing? If all the revelation happened 2,000 years ago and 5,000 years ago, what do we do now? You know, revelation was something that happened in the past, the biblical past. A sick, disintegrating society, that's true. In a healthy society, it's happening all the time. In an unhealthy society, as I was saying at the beginning when I had that music on, holy and sacred only happen in special places and special times, and only specially authorized people called priests can do it. Or be your gateway to it. You can't talk to God yourself. You need to go through a priestess. In a healthy society, everything's a miracle, everything's holy, and everybody is in conversation with everything.
That sentence you just gave prior to the last one is the best one-sentence summary of the origin and impulse of the founding of Quakerism.
Yeah. That's my understanding, too. So could you say what I said?
That the sacred is not in a special place, a special building, or the gift to others of specially endowed authority figures. It's for all of us, and it's available everywhere, and each person has the capacity to respond to the divine.
And the obligation. Okay. Stage six ends when mystery says enough's enough. You've had all these years embodying your soul gift and you'll never stop doing that, but now I'd like your, mystery says, I'd like your attention to go elsewhere. In other words, the embodiment of your soul gift is now on fully on automatic pilot, so get out from behind the wheel, please. Yes, you've just learned fully how to drive and now you're kicked out of the driver's seat. And mystery has something bigger and better and a higher status. Elderhood is the highest status in a healthy culture. In our culture, it's the absolute lowest status. The highest status is teenager. Youth, more generally. And the highest status in a healthy culture is elder. And it doesn't mean an old person. It means an elder. And the task of a stage seven elder is to care for the soul of the more than human community. In other words, mystery says, I don't want you to pay any more attention to your unique soul gift. Enough. That the balance between the human village and the other than human world needs to be attended to, and only elders can do that well. Only elders can do it well. And your task, the care for the soul of the whole world. It's, and in some Native American cultures, it's called moving into the grandmother's lodge or the grandfather's lodge. You don't have to have children or grandchildren. What a true grandfather and a true grandmother does is care for all of life. Adults are too busy bringing their particular shtick into the world. Adolescents are developing, children are learning. Elders are designed for caring for the soul of the more than human world. And they form councils called Council of Elders. A real United Nations would be a Council of Elders. I don't know if there's any elders in the United Nations.
Would you agree that, are you aware of the Anasazi in Chaco Canyon? Would you agree that
entire complex is a manifestation of just what you said?
Elders?
A community of elders that are caring for the, seem to have been, by what they left, the soul of the whole world.
I don't know. Never met one.
Well, obviously they're gone now, but...
So it's an interesting guess, Dixon, very interesting. That it wasn't a community of elders, for sure, but if it was a healthy community, it was a community of healthy people in stage 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. To have a healthy culture, you need people in every stage. And that's one of the more interesting systemic things that I get into in the book. And how you need to be in any stage in a healthy way, you need somebody and people in every other stages. And I do look at that specifically, just exactly why is that so. We looked at one version of that. To have a healthy stage 1, you need stage 5 parents. To have stage 5 parents, you need stage 7 elders and stage 6 initiators to help stage 3 people get into stage 4 and then into stage 5. And so it's all related. And incidentally, the Anasazi didn't call themselves that. You know that's a Navajo word that means enemy. So we now, in the Southwest, we call them the ancient Pueblo people. Okay, so stage 7. Any other questions about stage 7?
In our country at this point now, who do you think, or a group of people, would embody a council of elders or a stage 7 group? If you could pick out one or anything.
I don't think I could pick out a group. For my book, I picked out several people in the world because I needed to talk with them. And I only had time to talk with 2, so I did. I spent a couple of days with Joanna Macy, who I suspected is in stage 7. It's a very rare stage to reach. And I spent 2 days with her, and there's absolutely no question she's in stage 7, and she helped me understand what stage 7 is. I had some general ideas, but I didn't really get it. And she explained stage 7 to me, although she never heard of my model, of course. And then I was making a wild guess that Thomas Berry is in stage 8. I spent a couple of days with him, and I'd say no question he's in stage 8. And stage 8 being an East stage, it's mystical. Stage 8 and 1 are quite mystical. There's no task in stage 8. And I think I had only the most rudimentary kind of theoretical understanding of stage 8. And after 2 days with Thomas, I don't know if I understand it better, but I have a lot of different words for it. And it has everything to do with the universe and the cosmos. So what do I say here? Stage 8, the non-task is tending the universe. Give you one brief story from Thomas, and then it looks like I'll be done. I said, Thomas, what is an elder like you, and how is it different from an adult? And he laughed for about 5 minutes. And then he answered, and it took him 90 minutes to answer. And it was a full tour of Western philosophy and several other things. And I had no idea, you know, it was just way over my head. And at the end, he said, he did explain it to me. He said, okay, an elder is something, has a role in a healthy society, something like the way the Chinese emperor had a role in 4th century BC China. He said, in China at that time, and he told me what particular period it was, the period of warring states or something, because this was from the writings of a Chinese historian, I think, called Mencius. Is that his name? Mencius? Mencius. Said, the Chinese emperor did nothing. And that was essential for him to have his role. He had to do nothing. And just like stage 8 elders do nothing. It's essential that they do nothing. And it's essential that they accomplish all the amazing things they accomplish by doing nothing. The Chinese emperor simply had to coordinate his life with the cosmos. And the cosmos would stop going if he didn't. In particular, he had to wear the clothing of the right materials and the right colors that go along with the season. He had to change his residence from within the imperial palace grounds, from this place in the east to this place in the south, and so on, with the seasons. The royal court had to be playing the right kind of music for the seasons. And everything about the emperor's life was coordinated with the natural cycle. And that's what had to happen to keep the cosmos going. And that's the job of a stage eight elder, is to keep the universe going through the way they live their life. There's more that can be said, and it's in the book, and maybe even some things in your handout. There's sharing of wisdom. There's the mentoring by means of an enduring imaginal presence. This is something I got from Hillman's book on aging, that a true elder continues informing us long after they've left. And preparation for death, but you don't, not something you try to do, it's something that happens in stage eight. Okay, do I have time for one poem? Okay, this is from Drew Dellinger. I've been thinking all weekend, I'm staying in his dorm here, Dellinger dorm. This is Drew Dellinger, the spoken word poet from San Francisco. This is called Hieroglyphic Stairway. He's a spoken word poet, so he performs his poetry kind of like rap. And he'll tell you that his work is inspired by Thomas Berry and Brian Swim and Joanna Macy and so on. It's dedicated to the great turning, or what Thomas calls the great work of this century. It's 3:23 in the morning and I'm awake because my great-great-grandchildren won't let me sleep. My great-great-grandchildren ask me in dreams, what did you do while the planet was plundered? What did you do when the earth was unraveling? It's 3:23 in the morning. It's 3:23 in the morning and I'm awake because my great-great-grandchildren won't let me sleep. My great-great-grandchildren ask me in dreams, what did you do while the planet was plundered? What did you do when the earth was unraveling? Surely you did something when the season started failing? As the mammals, reptiles, birds were all dying? Did you fill the streets with protest when democracy was stolen? What did you do once you knew? What did you do once you knew? What did you do once you knew? I'm riding home on the Colma train. I've got the voice of the Milky Way in my dreams. I have teams of scientists feeding me data daily and pleading. I immediately turn it into poetry. I want just this consciousness reached by people in range of secret frequencies contained in my speech. I want just this consciousness reached by people in range of secret frequencies contained in my speech. I am the desirous earth, equidistant to the underworld and the flesh of the stars. I am everything already lost. The moment the universe turns transparent and all the light shoots through the cosmos, I use words to instigate silence. I'm a hieroglyphic stairway in a buried Mayan city, suddenly exposed by a hurricane. I'm a satellite circling Earth, finding dinosaur bones in the Gobi Desert. I am telescopes that see back in time. I am the precession of the equinoxes, the magnetism of the spiraling sea. I'm riding home on the Colma train with the voice of the Milky Way in my dreams. I am myth, where violets blossom from blood like dying and rising gods. I'm the boundary of time, soul encountering soul and tongues of fire. It's 3:23 in the morning and I can't sleep because my great-great-grandchildren ask me in dreams, what did you do while the earth was unraveling. I want just this consciousness reached by people in range of secret frequencies contained in my speech. Okay, I'll leave you there because it could be great lunch conversation provoked by that. And I want to thank you so much for being here and being here.